completely normal during these times of worry and crisis to bunker down and focus on yourself and those closest to you. That is human nature. But when the crisis is a pandemic that's affected the whole world, it's important to remember the work that's being done here will also help people in places who are not so fortunate as ourselves. In sub-Saharan Africa, for example, as we ease out of lockdown, they're only just going into it. They're just at the start of the coronavirus outbreak. And in refugee camps in the likes of Syria, conditions are so poor, preventing this. I mean, how do you prevent the spread of a disease like COVID in a refugee camp? It must be nigh impossible. One man who knows the scale of the problem is Professor Kevin Mortimer, a reader in respiratory medicine at the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine. Hi, Kevin. Thanks for being with us once again.
It's a pleasure. Good morning.
Just before we talk about COVID overseas, face coverings, masks, coverings will become mandatory in shops if we want to go shopping from the 24th of July, a week on Friday. The scientific evidence, it's been quite mixed on this for months now. Do you think it's the right time and the right decision?
This is an issue that there's been lots of wrangling over, as you say, since the very beginning of this, and very, very different scientific opinions. You'll remember at the beginning, the World Health Organization was also against face coverings. I think that this is probably one of those areas where it's probably fair to say that the scientific evidence is mixed, and that, unlike that wonderful trial we had recently that showed the benefit of dexamethasone, we haven't had such a thing when it comes to masks. So this is much more nuanced, and I guess I would say it's probably as much political judgment more than the arrival of new robust and particularly clinical trial level evidence. I think the best thing we can do in these circumstances is to do our very best to comply with the advice that we're being given by experts who have, of course, got access to the best available evidence.
Yeah, I mean, the government have always said we will always be led by the experts. We will always be led by the science. But I suppose as we've come through this, the science would change. What we've learned and how we manage it, that's changed as well. So I'm guessing that's the reason why, you know, it's taken this long to say, yes, you actually do need to wear the masks in closed spaces.
Yes, I think it's a mixture of things. I mean, we are in a very different place in terms of the evidence that we have now compared to where we were at the beginning. And I think this is something that, thankfully, some of the other countries that are amidst this, the height of the pandemic now, will benefit from the experience of countries like ours. Mm. So we do have better knowledge about how best to manage patients, how what kind of treatments might be effective. But there's also some political judgments being made. And I think that then we can see when we see the very different ways in which this pandemic is being managed in different countries around the world.
Indeed. And the top and bottom of it is it's a courtesy thing as well as a health thing. You know, I will wear mine to protect you, and I'd like you to wear yours to protect me. That's it in a nutshell, isn't it?
Yes, and I guess for people like me who are working in the hospitals, we're very used to doing this on a day-to-day basis. It's obviously a somewhat unusual. It's a big social change to change in behaviour. But you're right. There's a courtesy issue here as well, isn't there?
Thanks very much for that. Let's just move on. We can get so focused on our own problems at home and the spread of the virus here. It's easy to forget about those who've had to flee their homes around the world. 24 million displaced people. I mean, that's an incredible number. And when you throw COVID into the mix, that is so difficult.
Yes, I think this pandemic really is shedding light on a number of things. I think one of them is that we are all in this together. This COVID-19 isn't isn't really distinguishing between us just because we live in a rich country or a poor country. But I think it's also then shedding light on how big those discrepancies are between people in different countries, and how very, firstly, how very lucky we are to have the NHS here that really has rallied all efforts and really done a remarkable job to look after people during this difficult period. But there are, and if we go to one of our local hospitals, it wouldn't occur to us that there wouldn't be oxygen, for example.
Yeah.
But in a country like Malawi, actually, you may well go to a hospital and there isn't oxygen. Or in another country in sub-Saharan Africa, there may be oxygen. But if you want to access that, you'll have to pay for it at that point in time. If you don't have the money, you can't have it. I think that in some ways, this pandemic has been helpful in shedding light on those very real needs. And actually, this is an emergency. This is a global emergency, and funding is clearly needed to try and bolster these health systems that have been struggling for forever, really.
And this is what you do and have done for many years at the School of Tropical Medicine here in Liverpool. You've worked with many of these displaced communities and lots of projects on the go even before COVID.
That's right. It's really what LSTM has done since it was created just over 100 years ago. It's there to serve the needs of the world's poor by way of generating new research evidence, teaching and capacity building, and providing clinical care on its doorstep as well.
Kevin, I'm just going to finish with this, that there's been reports about how we may be affected as we hit winter. These are worst case scenarios that have been put out there in the paper. They're headline grabbers, if you like. I would think that we are, if it does come back through the winter, if there is a second wave through the winter, we don't know all, but we know a hell of a lot more than we did last February. And we know how to deal with this. We're washing our hands more. We're social distancing more. We're going to be wearing our masks more as well. Surely that would be... We've got something in the armoury, is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, we definitely have. I imagine lots of people will see this, the news of this modelling, and feel somewhat disheartened. But I would take your approach here, and I'd say actually, yes, we can. If this does hit us again, of course we can take it on. We're so much better prepared. We know so much more about this condition. We've got treatments that we didn't have at the beginning of this. We may well have vaccines in the near future. And the general population is also much more understanding of how to approach this condition and look after themselves if they get it and protect others. So I guess I see a lot of hope that should we find that this disease raises its head again a little bit, we'll be very well prepared to deal with it and bring all of our learning to bear.
Indeed, Kevin. I'm glad you said that, actually, because it is a worst case scenario in the papers today and on the news. But listen, thanks for your time. I know you're really busy at the best of times with everything going on. You've always managed to step up and talk to us on the programme, of which we are very, very grateful. There's Kevin Mortimer there from, Professor Kevin Mortimer, reader in respiratory medicine at the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine. It's just turned 8:15.